Coach Redick?
Here.
Coach Wisner?
Here.
Director Banks? Director Dotson?
Here.
Director Sweeney?
Here.
Chair is Fialcourt.
Okay.
I'm here too.
And Chair Wolf,
yes.
To be mentioned.
Okay.
Chair Wolf.
Thank you. Here, I'm here.
All right, very good. Relative to the agenda, I'm going to need a motion to allow us to take up an item outside of the order of the current agenda here today, so we can deal with a piece of business right off the bat. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Against? Very good. So, you want to say recess?
Sure. Do you want to do the minutes first, or do you want to go ahead and do the item?
Well, let's do, since we've gone that far down the road, why don't we just go.
Okay. So we have one contract. It's actually part of the state use program that Sean is going to present. We wanted to do it on the front end so that we could just dispense with this business right away. But it's a renewal of a contract to the printer's mark, basically. It's actually transitions. But Shauna, do you want to talk a little bit about what we are doing with this group and this renewal?
Yes. We have been working for almost 3 years now with Printer's Mark, and they are a state use organization that does our printing and mailing. So that's mostly the violation notices, but a handful of other pieces of correspondence as well. They've been a great partner, and we'd actually like to exercise the renewals. There are 3 one-year renewals, and we're asking to exercise them all at one time. This actually locks in the price for the next 3 years. The original contract was almost $5.5 million, and we're asking just this time for the next 3 years for $5.3 million. We're rolling over some of the value. We do expect a little bit of an increase in volume with new roadways and plazas, but nothing that that we really, you know, see impact the price here. I don't know if there might be any questions.
Questions at all?
So this is printing and mailing, and it's overseen by an organization that deals with people with developmental disabilities or
mental health.
Mental health disabilities. Mm-hmm.
They're part of the Transition to Mental Health Services organization.
And do we know about how many jobs this is?
It's probably depending on the season, between 3 and 4. Printing and mailing is kind of largely a technology transactional process. They take our data and they make sure that it gets put into their own systems and produces the mail. So it's not something that you see like at the lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of volume.
And this is in Rock Island?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Any other questions or discussion? All right. And we'll move on.
Yeah, I think we need to motion on the consent agenda, and then we'll move it.
Move to approve.
Okay. We have a motion to approve and place on the consent agenda. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And the motion carries, so this will go on the consent agenda for the full meeting on Thursday. Okay, good. All right, now I've got the correct agenda in front of me, so we'll revert to the actual agenda and do the approval of the minutes, if we could, of our meeting held on July 17th, 2014. Do I have a motion on that?
Motion to approve.
Sorry, I don't want to shout at once. Do you have coffee over there?
This is usually
all right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Very good. The minutes are approved. Any additional items here? I think not. And so we'll move on to the executive director, who does have a number of items, too.
We have quite a few items today. First on the list, just briefly, as all of you know, we've had our SCOFLA program going on now for some time. And, you know, we're proving some level, certainly, of success in actually recouping some dollars from people who have been chronic violators and haven't paid tolls for some time. We'd like to have a more robust discussion about kind of the next stages of this program at a future committee meeting, but I thought that it would be worthwhile for us to just take a couple of minutes to hear from all of you about anything that you'd like to make sure we are prepared to provide in terms of information or kind of to frame the discussion, any questions that you'd like to have answered so that we're prepared for that discussion whenever we have it next year. Any feedback?
Christy, I know we've talked about this in the lead up to this. You know, one of the things I'd be interested in is kind of a breakdown of where we are as we enter into this program, what the results have been as far as collection efforts and the monies that we've been able to realize.
Okay.
I think just from what I've read, there may be places around the country that have thought about how to do this a little bit differently. I know we've had some connections with the Secretary of State and we have our state police, but is there a way that we can use those entities to help us be a little more directive maybe with some of these, particularly the commercial people who have not been willing to settle up with us? And I guess also the question is, you know, whether we want to set some standards in terms of more precise thresholds in terms of timing or settlement levels. I don't think the board has sort of given, I think correctly, that responsibility over to business systems, but it would be good to just think about, you know, have we got the right thresholds for the time we let somebody not pay, and then when they do pay, you know, do we,
right.
Maybe the
so revisiting some of the thresholds and other things that have already been determined by the board, but also kind of best practices or practices, best or not, from other parts of the...
Effective would be good.
Effective practices from other parts of the country.
And we know every jurisdiction is different.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess one thing... Go ahead.
Please.
No, I was just going to say the only thing I would add is just along the same lines as Director Reddick. I'll just be interested in, to see the data as it as it comes in, so we can do some more analysis on as that comes in.
So we will certainly update the presentation and some of the data that we already provided on kind of the collection effort, and maybe we can slice it and dice it as much as we can to see if there's any trend with a particular group that we should be paying close attention to. We think we can do the best job we can. I don't know that we have the ability to dig down too much, but we'll certainly update it. Any other thoughts? Otherwise, we'll...
Are you thinking February, or do you have a deadline?
No, off the top of my head, I don't have the committee's meeting schedule for this committee that we're anticipating, but I would think that there might be something available. We'd certainly be able to get the work done by the early part or first quarter of next year, should we say, so...
The other question, I know the General Assembly had given us permission to publish names. I would be curious whether it's actually made a difference to have the names out in the media, or whether that's been helpful or harmful. I mean, we made that decision not knowing what the implications were going to be, and maybe there's no way to test that, but it's possible from the, you know, to look at the period before the publications and then look at the period after the publications and see if it's made any difference. And maybe in other jurisdictions as well, because I gather some have gone to not publishing them for whatever reason.
Right. Okay.
Well, I guess to get to that, I'm not sure that we necessarily need to just look at the pre-publication numbers and post. I think we could actually take a look at it in the group of the published versus the non-published during that
same
time.
Oh, that's good.
I think that, and that's kind of what I think I was hoping to kind of boil down.
I see.
What they,
And we can also take a look at age, because I think that weighs heavily. I mean, this is something where the Tollway Board a couple of years ago took this action to put collection agency contracts in place and, you know, allow the Tollway to start transitioning these to collection agencies. But before that, they were really just sitting here, stopped in some cases. So, but we'll, I think that's good. We'll try to, again, take a little more specific look at these kind of characteristics of certain groups within this violator / scoff law universe. Good. Okay. Thank you. I do not see...
I think you're downstairs.
The chairman is downstairs. Okay. I think the next item on the agenda was originally going to be a discussion of 53-120. Doug Whitley, unfortunately, is sick this morning. But it sounds like people are still kind of gathering. So is it okay with the board if we were to skip to one of the other topics
Are we holding them downstairs, or are they just not assembled?
They literally just came.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Which one? I don't know if there's one that you think is quicker. Or
I think the commercial vehicle.
Commercial
vehicle?
Strategic
plan. You get that?
We should go ahead and get them, but just so they don't feel rushed.
Okay, we'll take up the commercial vehicle strategic plan at this point and await your folks.
Well, this is going to be a bit of a joint presentation between myself and Andy Lee. We are, as you may recall, earlier this year we kicked off a bit of an agency-wide commercial vehicle and freight plan. Really, we want to make sure that we understand the importance of what's going on in the commercial industry and what we can.
Do you want to just, are we ready? We had skipped to another item just to give you some time, but we're ready. We don't want to hold it. Would you like to go ahead? Okay, sorry.
I'm used to the audible.
Yes.
Okay.
So just a little appetizer.
Right. Yeah, just got a little taste of that. So it's
well, just like
better. I knocked out opportunities to get the pyrotechnician in.
Just like a commercial trucker, we're switching gears again.
Right,
here.
Exactly.
Right.
We'll go back to the 5120 report.
So I would like to say, as Chairman Aaron Lawler and Chris Meister come up to the podium, Chris is one of the co-chairs of the Finance Committee effort, along with Doug Whitley, and of course Chairman Lawler has been doing a great job for us in helping to spearhead this effort. I think some progress has been made, and I think they wanted to come and update this committee and get some feedback. But overall, in the last couple of months, I'd say, as these efforts seem to always pick up pace as they move along, I think we've seen some progress here that we wanted to make sure everybody was aware of. So. Chairman?
Thank you. And thank you, board members, for allowing us the time to come back and present to you. I think what's really exciting is that we took a lot of the feedback from this committee from several months ago and incorporated that into the work of the Finance Committee. And what we've brought back is some good news, some really exciting things that mayors, local leaders, the environmental community, in the business community have put on the table to fund this project. One of the things that came up in this committee the last time we were here was kind of the BRAC innovations is what we're calling them, and those are things that are critical to this project to maintain the consensus that we've built, and there are a number of innovative approaches to how we address both the transportation needs that would be resolved through the 53 Northern extension, as well as being respectful of both the communities and the very sensitive environmental features of Lake County. We've refined the total project cost the tollway has refined the total project cost, and we're getting a higher level of confidence in these numbers. It's been dropped down to $2.35 to $2.65 billion. And the cost of the BRAC innovations are $325 to $400 million. What we've been able to do is really tighten those down by seeing where we might be duplicating or where we might be over-designing. The other piece of the puzzle, and probably most importantly for this group, are the local other funding options that we're looking at. And so that's on this next slide. We developed three different working groups to evaluate financing options and looked at a few different things. Really, how we address tolling in the Lake County portion of I-94. Local mayors and others are very cognizant that when you compare the per mile toll in Lake County compared to other areas in the system, there's a differential. And there's a willingness of those local leaders to stand up with the tollway and say, we believe that we need to move towards a more equitable tolling environment in Lake County. With that, though, they're very committed and very interested in addressing the safety issues that we have in our roadway system in Lake County, namely truck diversion off of Route 41. And we feel that we can both generate revenue for the project in partnership with the Tollway Board, as well as address these safety concerns with some mainline system tolling changes on the I-94 corridor. With the Route 53 extension, the group is moving towards a policy that would embrace indexing and congestion pricing. There's also a willingness to advance legislation that would enable Lake County to secure the 4 cent per gallon motor fuel tax, which would generate $34 to $45 million for the project. What we want to be really cognizant here is that we need a countywide vision for how this funding source would be used, and so half of it would go towards the 53 extension and half of it to Lake County consensus plan priorities, mainly the Route 41 corridor plan, which is desperately in need of funding. And finally, a sustainable transportation fund. This is a creative phrase that we came up with for the use of value capture, which our mayors in particular are very interested in. We've actually had some initial conversations with a couple school districts that would be impacted on the corridor, but I think this is something that we can all get very excited about, a new innovative approach to how we fund infrastructure, and it would be the first in, obviously, Illinois, and we're looking at national models to look at how we would structure legislation, but this is where we feel it's a very local source of revenue for the project and then could be used for the creative parts of the BRAC report, particularly the sustainability fund that you've read about in the past. So that leads us to the funding gap, which you can see. Oh, sure, Paula.
Do you want questions now or do you want to... When you said legislation, is that... General Assembly legislation?
Correct. Yeah. And Chris will maybe touch in his remarks a little bit, but we are starting to both look at what language and legislative principles we'd have to incorporate, as well as strategy on how we would get it done. On the next slide, while this remains to be a big funding gap that we need to close in on, what I want to really focus in is the progress that we've made. When we started this effort, that colored portion of the line was much, much, much smaller. And the way we've gotten there is through consensus with both our municipal, environmental, business community, as well as a really strong appetite to have everybody put skin in the game. And so I think that we're here to really report a success story, get your feedback, and continue to refine this to make it a reality. And with that, I will turn it over to Chris Meister.
Thank you, Chairman. Again, my name is Chris Meister. I'm co-chair of the Finance Committee along with Doug Whitley, who unfortunately was ill today and sends his regrets. And again, I just want to convey my thanks to the Tollway Committee and to Executive Director LaFleur for giving Doug and I this opportunity, and also my thanks to Aaron Lawler and Barry Burton, the Lake County Administrator, as well as George Ranney, and all of the mayors and local leaders that have been participating in this effort. The level of participation among the local leaders has really been outstanding, as has the support from Lake County and of course the support of my co-chair and of George, and I think that's something that really I want to emphasize, that the communities most impacted in Lake County are really moving towards speaking with one voice on their priorities and a consensus around those priorities, as Aaron has just mentioned. And what I want to do is sort of, since Aaron has highlighted where we are in the process, on behalf of Doug and I want to sort of map out briefly where I think we're going. At our last meeting last Thursday, we distributed an outline to the various members of the 53-120 committee as a proposed draft or skeleton, and we're hoping that in mid-December we will have a draft either report, executive summary, or guiding principles that will be in circulation among the local governments, recognizing that they are mayors and trustees and council people, and they need to or administrators, and they need to go back and report to their various local government bodies, and we want to provide them enough time to do so. We hope to have a meeting on the draft report on January the 20th, and we would present that report for discussion, revision, review, comment, and then we have targeted February the 26th to have a final report, again, taking into essentially two rounds of comments, three rounds of comments. The first round of comments coming into Tollway staff, or Doug, Aaron, Barry, and I on the outline that was circulated last Thursday. Again, taking those and refining those into a report that is suitable for circulation, discussing with the various stakeholders, presenting that report, discussing that on January 20th, then taking additional comment, discussing that, hopefully for consideration for a vote at the end of February. We think that the timeline to bring this report to its conclusion is very doable. One important element, and I think Aaron and George, given their leadership roles in the Land Use Committee, agree with this, is that the work of the Land Use Committee is going to continue beyond the work of the Finance Committee. And that is being done in conjunction with many of the same players that we were working with on the Finance Committee and with the able assistance of CMAP. And so that is going to be continuing on beyond the end of February. Really sort of talking about the next steps, and we had a rather robust discussion, and Aaron touched on it. Given the new General Assembly, given the new governor, there was a recognition that in ordinary times that state legislation revolving around a new or an innovative idea might take up to three legislative sessions to end up in a public act. There is some recognition that there's a little bit of an unprecedented opportunity in the upcoming General Assembly that the stakeholders in the 53-120 committee want to take advantage of, as does Aaron. And we're really looking at two branches, one of which was touched on by Aaron, that there has to be substantive statutory changes around the idea of the Sustainable Transportation Fund. We are talking about a multi-jurisdictional revenue facility. As Aaron pointed out, it would be unprecedented, we think, anywhere in the country, and it will address the integral but-for BRAC innovation requirements to make this project a reality. Of course, the general Lake County is going to have to fill out really the purpose, the governance, and the structures around this idea. And so the second part of that is the countywide fuel tax, which also helps, we hope, will address part of the funding gap.
Chris, would it be possible to go back to the previous slide, and maybe we can get the feedback from the board on these items and then kind of take it from there?
Right.
You've done a wonderful job of, I think, giving this the overview of all these component parts and how much work you all have done.
Just a quick, really quickly, so you mentioned the fuel tax. Will that require a referendum for the community, or is that just something new that's...
When you look at the motor fuel tax statute, Lake County is the one conspicuous county that's not a part of that, and so we would just seek to add Lake County into that legislation.
in Springfield.
Correct.
Simply, yes. Without a local referendum, I think.
So there wouldn't be any local county board action or any additional action besides
no.
the Springfield action?
I'm pretty sure that there wouldn't be.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I know sometimes local communities or even a county board might pass resolutions in support mm-hmm. of something that they'd like to see happen in the General Assembly, which never works.
I think that's all a part of how we approach the strategy of all these things. The county board has passed in our legislative program kind of a catch-all support for funding and policies that would enable the moving forward of Route 53.
I'm just so I'm clear, the significance, Mike, you were talking about this, the whole potential, the opportunity for at the state legislature, was the significance of that, is that in terms of moving forward and filling up the rest of the funding gap, is that where you're kind of going with
yes.
the conversation?
Okay. Yes, it's, the Lake County fuel tax is an item, as Aaron pointed out, is really... It's adding Lake County to an established structure, but the Sustainable Transportation Fund, its purpose, its governance, all of the sort of elements that are necessary to meet those goals, that we believe is a new idea, and it might take a little bit of time to socialize that idea
sure.
with the General Assembly, although the desire is to get this out and get it before the General Assembly sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And this is a creative kind of twist on national models that are out there in Texas and Maryland that utilize this type of revenue generation for infrastructure. The other thing, though, I think to your point about state contribution, we're very grateful of IDOT's contributions of acquiring land over the years. We have about 75% of the right-of-way acquired, and we would seek that continued support from IDOT to continue to acquire it.
And also to supplement that, last Thursday's meeting, we went to the members of the Finance Committee with a motion, Doug and I did, working with Lake County, really to fill out this point of significant state contribution. And we underscored in both the resolution and in the discussion in the board meeting that the state contribution should not be limited to a future capital bill, but for whatever future capital bills come along the horizon, recognizing the long time horizon of this project, combined with a request and a desire of Lake County and the communities represented in the Finance Committee that some of the significant state financial contribution would be part of the future IDOT programmatic five-year plans. And again, pointing out that this is among five regional transportation priorities highlighted by CMAP, and that there is precedent for this sort of state IDOT programmatic and capital bills over a period of time contribution with the 355 extension, the Elgin O'Hare Western Access, Western Bypass, and there was one more that I and the 294 I-57 interchange, all of which are tollway projects that have received significant state financial contribution.
When Aaron was speaking earlier, he talked about kind of the unique legislative opportunities in Springfield before you with the change in the legislature and the new governor. With that component, which gives optimism that you'll be able to move forward with this a little quicker, taking a look at the Sustainable Transportation Fund and the fact that it is unique to Illinois
mm-hmm.
and you're looking at some models and really, as I understand it, going to have to kind of morph these together.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-February or late February, looking to finish this report, what kind of a time frame do you think you'll be ready to go to put be able to put this model together to really get started on that process?
I think what we need to do is some concurrent development. We've started the legislative strategy. We need to develop that language and kind of take a first crack at it so that we are possibly leveraging filing deadlines or providing, you know, another opportunity to get the legislation in as a first go this session. Hopefully we're able to get it in a one-and-done environment, but we're you know, we want to make sure that we're getting this right, that we're getting the buy-in of our legislators. Representative Neckerts is here, and she's been at a number of our meetings, and so we have been getting feedback from her, from Senator Link, other members of the delegation to kind of already start that refinement process.
So, and I will mention, if it wasn't mentioned, and I can't recall, so I apologize, but Chairman Lawler has agreed to kind of head up, you know, a subgroup or working group on the legislative side, the strategy and development of the legislation. So I think that leadership will also be critical over these next couple of months to get things some parallel tracks.
Well, and also to that point, I mean, keeping in mind the Finance Committee's transparency obligations under the Open Meetings Act, and really that this is a late county, is a county initiative, we thought it would be best that like county and Aaron would have the leadership in order to work with council and the other sort of necessary steps in developing the legislation and legislative strategy outside of the purview of the Finance Committee.
Yeah. And we'll be looking for, you know, clearly your advice and guidance in that process. We can't just carry that bill alone. It's going to, you know, legislators are going to want to hear kind of what the toll thinks as well. So it's another factor.
I had a question that may actually be something more for Rocco or some of our own staff about this first segment up here, the system timing. I assume that those numbers are predicated on what our traffic engineers think are the right outcomes.
Sure. Let me explain. So what the what we've done with this top five of this the tries is basically we took a mainline system tolling approach. You know, we've had a lot of discussions with one of the subcommittees that we created was a tolling subcommittee.
Motor fuel tax.
Tolling motor fuel tax subcommittee, and we really started looking at some of the issues as the chairman pointed out, some of the toll rates that are in Lake County. In Lake County, particularly, you've got a very long stretch going from basically the state line in Waukegan all the way down south through the entire county to O'Hare Airport, so a stretch of about 40 miles with the one mainline toll plaza. There are also some movements through there that where there's some inconsistencies on the toll rates. It all goes back to when we removed a toll plaza, the Deerfield toll plaza. So we ran through the traffic engineer, and through our project team ran an analysis on the different the tolls and combinations of tolls. What we looked at was, I got to make this clear, we looked at the effects of congestion pricing and indexing on the 53 corridor itself and tolls on I-94. Basically, we've taken some of the information that we got of the you know, some of the survey work, understanding what the toll thresholds are. We found that people make a choice whether they're going to go to I-94 or 53. So in combined together, looking at both the indexing and congestion pricing on 53 and the mainline tolling on I-94, we came up with that range. So yes, in a long answer, yes, it was performed by our project team, and that's what came up with those numbers. As you can see, kind of the footnote there, about 75%, thanks for moving that down there, it's about 75% of the tolls are attributable to the I-94 component, and about 25% of that is from the congestion pricing and indexing on 53.
So I had two additional questions then. If you move the cursor over a little bit more, we've got the two times and the 1.5 coverage. I know, Mike, you've tried to keep it at about two for the ratings on the bonds. Do we know where does it fall on the 2 point versus 1.5 or?
I think the lower number is the two times, right? And the high end would be 1.5.
Okay. So just in terms of the market, the higher end number is the preferable number. And then the other thing that you mentioned,
the lower end number would be the two times number. If we kept our coverage at 2x, we would leverage $380 million. Mm-hmm. And if we reduced it to 1.5, it would be $510.
Okay, I meant the lower or the higher number in terms of the total.
The total, okay.
Right. Yes, so yeah. We're talking past okay. One another, but yes, saying sorry. The same thing. So, and then my second question is part of that analysis what happens if you do, or I assume it is, do or don't toll the 294 in terms of the traffic impact on the on 53?
So if you go to the next slide, let me kind of explain what we have here. So we looked at it basically taking out what you saw there on the prior slide is this green.
Right.
53 is a standalone project. If you don't touch anything on I-94, would generate about $250 million toward a bonding capacity. And then if you added congestion pricing and indexing and this mainline system approach, that's when you get an additional $380 million for bonding capacity.
So part of that is presumably people who will then prefer to take 53 because there's now a toll on 294?
Correct. Okay. That's part of the whole
calculation.
The calculation of what was done. Again, you can't look at it as a standalone
right.
Because they work in conjunction with each other. If you live in the middle, you're going to make some decisions based on speed, efficiency, and tolls.
But the 250 is...
That's a standalone project.
If nothing happens on 294.
Correct. And this is at...
That's just tolls, right?
Just
there's
tolls.
No congestion
right.
Price.
Right, no, just at 20 cents a mile on... The 53-120 corridor.
But I presume congestion pricing is a less attractive option if you still have no toll on 294. It would be harder to do congestion pricing on 53.
And that's why it was difficult, I guess, to break it out, and
yeah.
It's all lumped together in that green
okay.
Yeah.
Section.
Got it.
So, but it doesn't assume congestion. It assumes congestion
yeah.
Pricing on 53 only.
Right. Okay.
I had a couple questions, if I could. But I do want to, before I ask those, I wanted to say that I remember being a little vociferous in your last visit with us about local share,
mm-hmm.
as I refer to it. And I'm very pleased to see that you made a lot of progress in that area, and to be commended for that. But I do have a couple questions, and they probably go to our staff as opposed to you guys. But and the first is on the mainline tolling item that we've been talking about. That, I presume, indicate would be in effect taking some toll dollars receipts and applying that to the local share. Is that, and if I'm correct in that general approach on in this case,
mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering how that jives with previous policy in regard to how tolls are utilized or allocated in terms of credit, and whether there's any implications there going forward. So
this is definitely unique. This is something that, again, was brought to us as part of this tolling and motor fuel tax working committee. We the mainline approach assume the 75% comes from the mainlines. We have never done anything like this before. This was something that the members of the tolling and motor fuel tax working group came up with. They understanding some of the inequities on the toll rates and the per mile tolling that are up there. So it was something that they said, you know what, we would like to try to balance this out a little bit more, be more equitable, and you know, they took it upon themselves. So we haven't done anything like this before on our system or other prior projects where we've taken an increase on the tollway, on a section of the tollway, and applying it towards a local contribution. That was something that definitely was unique to this project.
Yeah. If I could just add a couple things. There's couple different layers of options in how we address tolling. The general consensus, though, is that we need to do something to make our portion of I-94 more equitable. But whether that's a new main line or something else positioned somewhere else, or kind of buttoning up free access points along the I-90 corridor, all of them generate significant revenue. And I think what the mayors in particular feel is they want to be a part of delivering that political capital that ultimately provides it as a feasible option.
Well, and I'm seeing this is really the last slide here, so maybe it's appropriate at this point that I don't want to get over my skis with excitement about how much progress you've made, when in fact I'm looking at the right side of that pipeline there that shows that there's still a an amount to be dealt with that we don't have a solution for at this point. But I would ask, is there conversation relative to that remaining gap, as I guess we could call it? And
I'd like to ask just one, maybe I got a little over me. When we're talking about 53-120 and the 94 north section, this is strictly congestion tolling, a toll increase, or a combination of both in those areas?
Well, it's separate. So there's no congestion pricing being proposed for the I-94 piece. It's congestion pricing for 53 mm-hmm. with a base toll of 20 cents per mile in accordance with new facilities that the toll is being built. And then aside from that, dealing with the I-94 kind of equity issue of a disparity in per mile tolls compared to the rest of the system.
And you mentioned the mayors. Obviously, there's the mayors are all in on the political capital that we need to be used to do these increases.
And that's the indication from the working groups as we develop the report and vote on it. You know, that's where we'll be able to show you an actual roll call. But I've just been very excited with their willingness to advance these. Sure. You know, there have been motions and votes at the working group level to include these concepts, so we're moving in the right direction.
And again, I mean, we're providing you with a status report,
right,
a snapshot of where we are. I think I'd just like to underscore for the members of this committee is that what really stands out with this project is, and this was something that Doug and I realized going into the process, that Lake County really has a history of identifying collectively what's important for its quality of life and the measures that it needs to take to enhance that quality of life. And then there's a tendency to work backwards for the structures in order to reach that goal. And I think we're in the process of working this, and there's a remarkable openness to a wide variety of tools and strategies that I think that we will reach consensus on.
Well, I want to say I directly confronted the BRAC issue the last time we spoke, and it's nice to see that you've stepped up and the county is doing what it thinks it needs to do to cover those costs.
Working at it. Thank you.
Any other comments?
I just had one question on this. The first slide, the refined total project cost. One of the things that we had initially talked about is the question of design changes that would bring down cost. And it's not clear from this whether any of this reflects design changes or whether this is.
Yeah, it's more for Amy, but it does.
I'll speak briefly to it. There aren't any design changes. This is still keeping in with the spirit and intent of the BRAC recommendations. This is merely a refinement of our understanding and assumptions
of the cost
of the class price.
There were some efficiencies that I think we realized over time where we said, better understanding the intent of the BRAC recommendations. We sat down again with some of the members of the BRAC, the different environmental groups and agencies up there, to get more of a better understanding of how we can maybe have dual purpose sites. So some efficiencies within the cost itself.
Yeah, and how it's more about outcomes than the design features. If we can achieve the same outcomes at a more efficient cost, that's what this reflects.
Just going back to my last question and talking about the remaining gap, I think we're all very pleased with how much progress you have made. Are you actively working on that, on the gap side of things, and do you have any particular approaches that appeal to you at this point, or are you just got to plug away at it?
I think we have to maximize these different options and the revenue that comes along with it, and as Christy would say, leave it in your capable hands. Which is something she...
That's not my direction.
It's not her direction, but it's my favorite Christy saying that stuck with me. But obviously, it's going to be a partnership between us, the state, and the tollway.
Any other comments or questions? Well, if not, thank you very much, and again, we appreciate the progress you've made and look forward to even more next time you visit.
Thank you.
We did have on our agenda originally public comment. We were asked to delay that opportunity until after this update, and so at this point, it's appropriate to allow public comment, and Mr. Sherman, Mr. Rob Sherman, is one of those who's asked to address us. I ask you, Mr. Sherman, to keep in mind that we have a lot on the agenda today.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Sherman, Box 7410, Buffalo Grove. I encourage Governor-elect Rauner to keep all of you. You all do a great job. And my friends who are leaving the room apparently didn't want to hear what I have to say. I have several concerns about the proposal to this point. First, in regards to the proposal to use some of the tolls from 94 part of the tri-state on 41. You can't do that. When people pay tolls on the tollway, that's to pay off the cost of the bonds. That's to pay off the cost of operating the system. It's not to start paying for other roads, for federal roads. You do that, you're going to set a precedent where people all up and down the tri-state and all along the Northwest Tollway area say, well, what about a federal highway in our area or other roads in our area? You're doing it there. We want it there, too. I can't imagine the General Assembly changing the Tollway Act, which says that the purpose of tolls is to pay off those bonds and operate the system. I can't imagine the General Assembly would agree to that. Maybe Elaine, the Assistant Majority Leader for Representative Nekritz, will allow me to put her on the spot, and she'll have a comment on that now or later. But you can't do that. People are paying motor fuel tax for the fuel they use to run on the tollway system. They're not getting anything out of that. Now you want them to pay tolls to cover the cost of operating or maintaining 41. You can't do that. So I encourage you to be dubious about the prospects of that happening, because the precedent would be terrible, and it's not what we're paying tolls for. Second, in regards to balancing out tolls on the North Tri-State, one of the proposals at the Finance Committee meetings, and I've been to a number of them, was to reinstate the Deerfield Cash Box, Deerfield Toll Plaza. And if you did that, then they would want to reverse the tolls at places like Willow Road and Lake Hook Road, put it on the other side, put it on the south side of the street instead of the north side of the street. Well, that would cause the people who live in the North Shore, who live in North Cook County, to be paying additional tolls for the purpose of subsidizing Route 120 far away and 53 far away. The question came up as to whether the mayors were in on this. Have you talked to the North Shore mayors? Are the mayors of Glencoe, Highland Park, Deerfield, Northbrook, Bannockburn, are they in on this proposal? I encourage you to see if there's consensus from them that their residents ought to be paying more to subsidize the cost of Route 53 and Route 20. And finally, in regards to congestion pricing, you're already looking to charge 20 cents a mile on 53 and 120, where the standard rate on the legacy tollways is 5.7 cents a mile. You're going to have a tough enough time getting people to pay 20 cents a mile, and now you're talking about congestion pricing, 40 cents a mile. You're not going to have anybody that's going to use the roadway at that price. When I was there, the consultant, the nice gentleman sitting there next to Amy, whose name I can't recall, my recollection, correct me if I'm wrong, is that according to his analysis, his figures, and he's here to confirm or refute it, is that based on the maximum revenue that you can generate based on the amount of the toll, that the maximum revenue will come from 35 cents a mile. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to have people paying 35 cents a mile. They're not going to do it. They can't afford it. It's too much. They'll stay off the roadway. So I encourage you to be extremely dubious about the prospect of congestion pricing on 53 and 120. Be dubious about the prospect of the legislature allowing you to
take tolls to pay for a federal highway because of the precedent, and that's not what we're paying tolls for. And thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
May I ask that question? Could you explain the issue about 41?
Yes.
Thank you.
There was a slide. It was the second from the last slide. Is that available? That second to the last slide. The one before that. In this amount here, when they're talking about tolling on the mainline system, I-94, and gentlemen are still here, they're proposing that a portion, maybe half of, and I think the consultant might recall it and be aware of this issue, or maybe Aaron will come on back in. The proposal was that in the rebalancing, half of the additional tolls would go towards the cost of 53 and 120, and in order to sell the proposal to raise tolls or balance tolls on 94, that the other half of the money, and maybe Amy knows about this too, somebody will be able to fill me in or Rocco, that half of that money would go towards the cost of rebuilding or maintenance or reconstruction or something on 41. Help me out here, Rocco.
What you're referring to is actually the second item down, the countywide motor fuel tax, where there would be an increase on the motor fuel tax where 50% would go to
the motor fuel tax.
So the county would give to you some of it for whatever projects were priority for them, and then some of it would be dedicated to advancing.
And I was confused on that issue.
We want to make sure it's clear that we are never going to recommend, as far as I can tell, any toll resources going toward anything other than toll rates. That's not our job. That's inconsistent with our indenture, our charge, our mandate, our legislation, our covenant with the people.
That was my concern. That concern was resolved. Well, thank you.
Okay, good.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Sherman. We have one other speaker that wishes to address us. That's State Representative Elaine Neckritz, and we welcome her.
I hope I can stand this far away from her just to speak in the microphone. But I am just here, frankly, to support the work that's been done by Doug Whitley and Chris Meister and Chairman Lawler. I've attended a number of the subcommittee meetings, and I've been pleasantly surprised also to see a number of other legislators participate. So I feel like that the legislators from the area that's most affected by this are well informed as to what these proposals are doing, the direction they're headed, and seem to be, at least from my discussions with them, supportive of that direction. So I think that that's a really healthy development for the work that's been done. It's really impressive to go to these meetings and see the large number of people that are there. Stakeholders, interested citizens. It's a huge group, and I think that speaks well to the efforts that are going underway here, and I'm very pleased as to how it's going. So I just wanted to give my thanks to the people that are spearheading that, and to the tollway for working with them as well.
And we said this before, but this whole project never would have been able to have any traction if it hadn't been for all the volunteer time that people in Lake County, and particularly you and other legislators, have put against it, because this was something that was not, I think from our perspective, an engineering or even a financial problem at the bottom line. It was really a problem about political
consensus.
Will within and consensus within the county. So we really appreciate the time that everybody who has the keys to that.
And I just want to make for the record, I am not a Lake County legislator. I'm a Cook County legislator. Everybody thinks I represent Lake County, but the tollway dead ends in my district, right? Or the 53 dead ends in my district, and so Lake Cook and Dundee are a nightmare because of it. So.
Well, then you are by adaptation Lake County.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other conversation on this issue? Okay. If not, I think we can move ahead with our
commercial vehicles.
Next item.
So So thank you, everybody. Again, as you can see, there's been a tremendous amount of work done. There's always more work to do, no matter what we do, but a tremendous amount of work and great leadership from everyone, so thank you. I will now ask Rocco and Amy to go back up front, since your appetite was whetted with the one slide that you saw of our commercial vehicle strategic plan presentation. Now we are ready to unveil the entire presentation. So
it's a tough act to follow.
We can all exhale.
It is.
So we're hoping, please interrupt the presentation, or just let's have a discussion. We were hoping to really get some feedback and ideas from all of you, because we know how important commercial vehicles are to the tollway system, but also how important the tollway is to commercial vehicles, which we'll learn a little bit more about, I think, in this presentation. But we've all, I think, been very committed and have heard repeatedly from the board how important they are, and that we need to maybe think about what else we should be doing to accommodate this particular and important part of our customer base. So, Rocco?
Actually, before I get started, if I could actually give a true compliment to somebody who deserves it for the last, all the work on the 53 project, Amy, who is doing a phenomenal job of managing something that is quite an interesting project. So
we'll give you a little of those applause, too.
Yeah, so hopefully that's enough to get her through the next couple months of this project. Thanks, so appreciate that. So on the commercial vehicle, we started out, really what I want to convey to you is, commercial vehicles are a very, very important part of what we do here at the tollway. We're very much reliant upon them. They're reliant upon us. This is just kind of a quick snapshot. I want to give you some brief overview. Commercial vehicles account for about 12% of our overall traffic, but about 34% of our overall revenue. That profile is going to continue to change from a revenue standpoint. We've got a toll increase that is coming up beginning January 1, 2015. It was a commercial vehicle increase that was approved back in by the board vote in 2008. The increase in 2015 is a 40% commercial vehicle increase in 2015, a 10% increase in 2016, another 10% from 2017, and then it's the increase will be tied to an index moving forward. The previous toll rate that was on commercial vehicles dates back to about 2005, so about 10 years ago. We still do offer overnight discounts, the value pricing, congestion pricing, if you will, and the overnight peak time frame. But we are adopting a plan to start doing the outreach. We'll be communicating with all the trucking iPass account holders in the coming days, actually. We'll start putting up signage at the toll plazas, do more of an outreach to make sure that people and truckers are aware of is what's happening on the system and what is happening. But just to kind of get back to this very briefly, so as I said, commercial vehicles are going to continue to be an increasing growth from the revenue side. We want to make sure that we understand what their concerns are. So we kicked off this freight strategic outreach, freight strategic planning effort earlier this year. We've done a lot of surveys. Amy's going to cover some of that stuff. But this slice of the pie is going to continue to grow as these increases come into account and into place, and it's going to be a more and more critical for this agency. So we want to make sure that we continue to provide that.
Oh, I should know this, but is there also a price differential for commercial vehicles, whether they're on a transponder or cash?
No price differential for iPads.
And that
one price?
That was because it wasn't discussed, or was it?
Do you recall, Mike, on the price differential on that? We had a price differential at the initial years of the, back in 2000.
There was between 2005 and 2008, there was a price differential during certain periods of the day. Mm-hmm. And that was phased out. That was something that was not initially part of the plan. That was what was negotiated
right
with trucking associations, but it was phased out. And it's a, part of it was a revenue issue.
You just think in terms of safety and congestion, having driving as many trucks onto transponders as possible.
I mean,
do we have almost
what is the percentage?
Comparable. It's about 87% for commercial vehicles as well,
okay,
system wide. So our commercial vehicles and passenger cars are nearly identical as far as percentages go.
I don't know if you're going to cover any of that stuff. So that's we're pretty much dead on as far as that goes. But again, all I was conveying is that this, you know, slice of the pie is going to continue to be something that we're going to monitor, and we want to make sure that we are cognizant of the needs of the commercial and freight industry moving forward.
I'm sorry, my brain is not clicking fast enough. As you're doing your outreach to people on this change, I think that's your other slide, will you also be encouraging them to switch to transponders if they're not already on transponders, or is that a helpless, useless?
Sure, we always, promoting it now, especially with the 294-57 project we've done. It's not just, it's outreach all over the place about this. And there are efficiencies and savings. When we initially converted from our toll plaza, traditional toll plazas to open road tolling, that was one of the industries where it was very clear that there's tremendous efficiencies for the commercial industry, as opposed to having to wait on the cash lines. And I think we've gleaned a little bit of information about the cash paying customers in some of our work, but that's always part of our overall discussion and outreach.
Do you find a higher delinquency at all with the commercial side of non-transponder users compared to the vehicle side?
Will answer any of that? Delinquency with
transponders?
With the non-transponder users on the commercial side compared to the...
As far as we can tell, they use the transponders at about the same rate. There are different challenges with the different groups. I mean, the trucking organizations are far more organized, so they're much more likely to have the transponders, the accounts, than...